welcome to Category 5 Coffee Break. It's 14th of February 2021. It's already 2021. That's crazy. Otherwise known as 2021, but I'm trying not to say that. But that's how it works anyway. So welcome to Doug, who's over there on my right-hand side or my left-hand side or whatever side we're on. And then down here, which way? That way. There it is. There's Solbu. Hi, Solbu. It's like the Brady Bunch. And Peter is here, but I don't have any video or audio from him. So I hope he joins at some point. So, oh, there we go. I'm hearing noise. Okay, good. No problem. Let's have some video from you, Peter. I hear audio from you, but I just need some video. All right. There we go. Yay.
Hey,
all right,
Peter.
I want to let go first, sir, because you did not get much of a chance to talk last week, so I'm going to let you go first. You were showing off some machine-generated voice generation or something?
No, that's taking my original voice and using an algorithm to take out all the horrible grungy noises in my voice.
So your voice as it is now with the valve in or no?
With the valve in, yeah. I have to show
okay.
you. I need to show you the rig. You only heard the unprocessed version. I need to show you the processed version, which does sound a lot better.
How are you processing that voice? How does that work?
I record it as an audio file at the moment. Hold on. A dog. That's all right.
Okay.
I record it as an audio voice at the moment. Then I
run. Can you bring your camera down just a little bit, Peter? Because all we see is your hair.
Yeah.
Your camera. There we go.
There you are.
Sorry about that. Okay, that's all right. And I record the audio into a wave form, then I process it using some software, and then I record it and then play it back.
So, nice.
Similar
to what Robbie does, I think, after what I do is I send all this audio and video to Robbie, and he pre-processes it, or he post-processes it to get rid of peaks and valleys in the sound and equalize all volumes and stuff like that. I guess you're doing something similar.
No, it's a bit more than that because the way my valve works is normally you use your larynx to vibrate, and
right.
I've got no larynx. I've got nothing there.
Okay.
I've got all the wave changing stuff in my mouth, other than my tongue, my mouth, my lips, et cetera,
sure.
To change the
yep.
tone. But there's a valve at the back of my, down my throat. It's called a TE muscle, which yep. is like a big wrong rubber band. So it the waveform is generated, not sine wave like the vocal cords. It is more rectangular or more triangular, probably.
Mm-hmm.
So it
acts like the vocal cords, then, right? It's what vibrates.
Yeah, but the waveform is not. But the waveform is not pure. So it produces other harmonics, and it also frequency modulates slightly as well, because they've got this sort of 50 yep. hertz modulation on top of it. So I'm trying to remove that. By some processing. It took a long time, took 20 years to do it.
Mm-hmm. But you can't do that in real time, though, can you? You have to record it, process it, and then play it back.
Well, that's what we're thinking about, the electronics. That's where I might need some help from somebody in terms of building something, trying to design something. It probably might need something like not a Pi Raspberry Pi, something could be better than a Raspberry Pi, I would think, as a processing power, because you need a lot of processing, and run the algorithm on there, and use the audio card, on that to keep contingency in real time.
At the very least, no matter how strong your hardware is, you're going to get some kind of a delay because it takes some finite amount of time to read it, to listen to what...
It will be about 1 second, I reckon.
Right. Because these headsets, or this headset is a noise-cancelling headset, and the noise-cancelling headset always has some kind of a hiss to it because... I'm not sure why you're arching your hands like that. Is there a reason for that? Okay.
I got a problem with my fingers, by the way.
I got
a problem in my... I got to go for a lot of pressure on my hand, basically.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Good luck with that. When's that going to happen?
Don't know. They keep saying it. That because of COVID, I didn't get it. So it's a bit painful sometimes. So
yeah.
I tend to do that as an exercise.
Right. Okay.
Don't worry. The
problem is that Peter doesn't climb his mast too often.
don't do that. He doesn't need to be climbing his mast. Come on, man. He doesn't need to be doing that.
It's been bloody plus monkey weather outside, I tell you that.
I know it. I've been looking at the weather. It's pouring out there. Or it was a little while ago.
I lived in down in Hampshire on top of the Downs outside Guildford. And it's quite up there. And it's quite bleak as well. And a place called Lybrook in 1985, it dropped to minus 15 degrees.
Oh, that's Fahrenheit, right? Or is that Celsius?
Celsius.
Oh!
And where's the 640 on the bottom where my arm was, and then at the top there was about 700 feet. And it was a 1-in-3 hill, and I tell you what.
It was fun.
A week of fun it was.
Yeah, I bet it was.
And none of the cars would think they're working well, because obviously they got very cold.
I always worry about that when it gets really cold here, or it doesn't really get that cold here. It can get down to freezing. The cars are usually okay because they're in the garage. But the aeroplane doesn't like really cold weather. It's hard to start.
No. This was just a freak conditions in 1985. This was, and I think Scotland got the record now. Did you know Mr. Fahrenheit died? Do you know he died? He came from.
I feel a joke coming on here. I can tell. No, I can see it's coming. You've got something coming. I know what you're up to, Peter.
Watch it
carefully. I'm hovering over the mute button, man. I'm ready.
he came from Poland, and we come from Berlin. I thought he came from Germany, but obviously he came from Poland, said in the thing. And he died of mushroom poisoning, picking mushrooms.
Okay.
Strange way to die.
Oh, well, you know, if you pick mushrooms and you don't know what you're doing, I don't know if there's some sort of a joke behind there, but I don't care.
I'll let that go.
there wasn't
a joke. They were generally... Oh, okay. I
thought Fahrenheit was alive a lot earlier than that, though. I didn't know he was that old, so...
Yeah,
anyway.
See, I opened the Wikipedia page, and Fahrenheit was... The temperature scale was launched in 1724.
I knew he was around a lot longer than that.
So if he just died, it was about time.
Yeah. All right, Solbu, you're next, Solbu, because I know you've got pizza coming. So what news do you have, sir?
Usually I call in a pizza order, and then I drive downtown to pick it up. But
I do the same.
On Monday this week, I had an appointment in the town, and I couldn't stop my car, so I had I fetched my charger and plugged it in for 2 hours. It didn't help, but then I borrowed the charger from my neighbor and let it sit for 4 hours. It also didn't help. So the next day I called. I have a tow truck as part of my insurance policy, and they couldn't start it either. So they Tuesday or Wednesday, it's they will be fitting a new starter. So
was the motor actually turning over, or was the starter not actually turning the motor over?
No, I just heard a click, and that's it. Yeah.
Usually that means the battery's just dead, and replacing the battery or charging it up with it.
Yeah, the battery is new. Was new half a year ago.
Okay. Yeah. Well, if it's not the battery, then I get the starter.
Yeah, and then the torch company with their big charger pack also can't get it to start, then it isn't the battery.
You're pretty much done for at that point. Yes, right.
Yeah, so it's between $500 and $600.
To have a starter installed?
Yeah.
Ouch.
Wow. Yeah, it's not that much here, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure it doesn't cost quite that much. What other news do you have, Sobu?
Today I was in the computer association I sit in, a Unix-based. We have a server. We call it, the name of the server is a video. It's a virtual server where we have a Mumble. It's an audio type like this, but only no video. And we use it to have our monthly board meetings. But last time, last two times when we had meetings, two people started to have problems logging on because of deactivation of old encryption protocols. So
I've seen that at work, or at least a couple of jobs ago, where one of our servers talks to another server, and they upgraded the destination server, they upgraded the router, and then all of a sudden the router stopped passing traffic for the old encryption keys. So with the old encryption protocol. Yeah, I've seen that before.
We upgraded that from Debian 9 till Debian 10. Mm-hmm. And that was all that was needed.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay.
Because the old 1.2 series didn't support TLS 1.2. Or it supported it, but it defaulted to TLS 1. And that was enough for some clients to, nope, I'm not doing that because you support.
I think even prior to TLS, wasn't it SSL to that?
SSL
and I think the old client was using SSL, and that's what was, or maybe it was TLS 1.0, but
TLS 1 is 20 years old.
Okay, it probably was TLS 1 then. Yep. Nice. Mr. Doug, Mr. Doug, what have you been up to?
Not much, just working. The computer that I normally use for this, Coffee Break, needs a new fan, so I've got to find time to replace that. I've got the fan,
Have a look at Robbie's old, there's an old Cat5 TV episode about replacing the fan. So I think he found a screw in his fan somewhere. I think he'd literally found the machine screw in the fan somewhere. So
now there's a fan that screwed.
Yeah, I don't know where it came from. He sucked it up somewhere. I don't know, but he did find it somewhere.
So if he found a screw in his fan, does that mean the fan was screwed?
Yes. Oh yeah. Oh absolutely. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yep. Yep.
You stole that from me, Salvo.
I knew you couldn't resist.
Yeah.
So here's my news. I have been. I'll see if I can shine that on there. There you go. This is a Pinephone. Looking at the back of it, so you can see that it's a UB Ports edition phone. And I got it probably a few months ago, and it came preloaded with Ubuntu Mobile. So UB Ports is the Ubuntu edition, which I liked, but there's a lot that it doesn't do. One of the things that I needed to work would be outgoing phone calls, incoming phone calls, text in, text out, right? And I needed for it to be able to sync to my local CalDAV and CardDAV server. In order to make it do that, I ended up finding a script online that allowed for it to sync up CalDAV and CardDAV, and that worked. But then I found that it would not identify when an incoming call comes in, even though that number that the incoming call came from was in my CardDAV contact list, it would not identify who it was. So I thought, well, this is no good. And in addition, the UB Ports edition is really built for folks who are used to Android or iPhone or whatever. That is, a lot of the workings underneath are all hidden away. You don't get to play with you don't get to play with any of the stuff, you know, under the covers, like with a terminal or any of that mess. So apt doesn't work. So, you know, basically, I thought you were holding up a sign there, Peter. I thought, oh, great. That looks like a circuit diagram to me. Yeah, very nice. So I then switched to Mobian, because that's one thing you can do with these phones. You can take the back off, install an SD card, and boot from another image and see what you – you know, instead of booting from the internal, EMMC drive that's inside it. So I tried that, and it was slow, understandably, because it's running off an SD card, which runs about a quarter of the speed of what the EMMC runs, how fast it can run on the EMMC. But it looked a whole lot better than what UB Ports did. Mobian looked a lot more like what I expected the PinePhone to be. That is basically a Linux box that lets you take and make phone calls and text messages and all that. But it also suffered from the problem where it won't identify incoming callers. So I thought, well, that's no good. So my choices were to go dig through the telephone stack to figure out how all these hooks worked, or to just try another distro and see if I could find one that worked. And I kept seeing all over the place, oh, by the way, I use Arch Linux. I thought, well, okay, what's this Arch Linux thing? So I thought, all right, well, I'll try it. Yeah, I mean, I tried Mobian and it was okay. Let's try Arch and see what it does. Worked right out of the box, and it now identifies incoming phone calls, takes phone calls, even from a deep sleep. So even if the phone's been asleep all this time, one of the problems with a lot of distros is they keep the cell phone modem running all the time. So when you keep that Wi-Fi and cell phone modem running all the time, you burn a lot of energy out of the battery.
Right.
And so typically these won't stay alive on battery more than a few hours maybe at maximum. But when it, you know, both Mobian and Arch Linux both shut down the internal cell phone and Wi-Fi modems. But crucially, Arch Linux will wake up the phone on an incoming phone call, even if it's in a deep sleep, and it will still answer the phone. Mobian does not, or at least the version that was on this phone that did not. So what would happen is that Mobian would shut down the internal cell phone modem, when the thing went to sleep, which was great for battery life because now it's not burning all that energy from the radios. But then I would try and call it, or somebody would try and call the phone, and it just wouldn't respond. The phone would not wake up. Well, that's no good. I need the thing to actually answer phone calls when they come in. That's kind of important. It's a phone. That's what it's for. Right? So
it reminds me of one of my first phones I had. I had 20 years ago, I had an Ericsson 318. And it, I used that as an alarm clock after I discovered that I had an alarm set, and then I forgot I had the alarm set, so I turned the phone off. And when the time came for the alarm to ring, it woke up and I had the alarm. And when I closed the alarm, it went back off. That was the only phone I had. That the phone was not in a deep sleep. It was turned all the way off, and woke up to ring the alarm.
Yeah, I have not yet tried.
If you put on the charger when it goes to sleep, would it still be active then? Because it's getting power from the charger.
Yeah, it tends to keep the modems alive, the radios alive when it's on the charger.
I mean, put it on the charger when you go to bed, you know.
Yeah, it's exactly what I do. But as I said, before I installed Arch Linux, I'd have to put it on the charger all the time because it would only run for maybe 6 hours or so on the battery. But now with Arch Linux and Mobian too, I'll give Mobian due credit, it would last over a day now easily in standby, but so I wouldn't have to put it on the charger all the time. Now it looks like I can just run this during the day normally and then put it on charger overnight, but I still wouldn't be too far away I wouldn't be too far away from some sort of a power source at any time, because you know, if you use it a lot, and I think this is true even of Android phones, if you keep the screen on a lot, then it burns through the battery pretty quickly. So, yeah, it is what it is. So I'm still exploring it, still figuring out what it works. But what's really cool is I can SSH into it and use it like a regular computer. I'm looking at getting, in fact, it's on the way. I'm getting a dock, a USB-C dock for it, and I'm going to plug a keyboard, a mouse, and an HDMI cable in. And nice. I should be able to plug it into the bottom of the phone and charge it while I'm using it like a regular computer. Now, don't expect any performance. Now, this thing is going to have about the performance of the original Pinebook. I believe it has the same processor as the original Pinebook. So don't be looking for any kind of performance now. But it amazes me that I can just run it. I can SSH into it and run programs on it, even desktop programs, with the USB-C port. It should share the display. You know, the HDMI out should just activate the display, just like an extended display like Windows does. At least that's how I've seen it done on YouTube. So, so it must work, right? It's on the internet, so it must be right.
But even if it's slower, one thing you could that one can do when one has a computer with SSH and so on is that on a slow device, if you SSH into a big fast system and launch a desktop program on the fast system, then it will display on your local device, and it should perform as if you were on the fast system.
Look how small that screen is, Solbu. You really want to run a desktop? Oh, by the way, one of the things that I see on YouTube all the time with these Pine phones is the really big icons, and I don't know if I can show it to you because I've done the tweak on it. You can go into settings on Mobian or on Arch Linux. I don't think you can do this with UB ports, but if you go into settings and then look for the display option, tap on that, you have the option then to switch to 100% resolution instead of the default 200%. As it comes out of the box at 200%, the icons are huge, the text is huge, and you don't get much real estate on the screen. But if you switch it to the 100% size or resolution, everything shrinks down to half the size, obviously, because the screen becomes effectively twice as big, and you can display regular desktop programs, and you can run regular desktop programs like Evolution, for instance, on that dinky little screen. It's quite surprising. You can't do it while it's at 200% because it's just there's just not enough real estate on the screen. So none of the YouTube videos that I've seen show that setting being used. I don't know why. You have to have really small fingers, though, when you do that, because the buttons are really small and you have to be very precise about where you push those buttons. So, all right. So that's my news.
These things come in.
Now, I've got one of those. I've got to find it. I don't know where it is.
A cotton bud, that's what I use, a cotton bud.
Bud. Yeah, I never thought of that. Yeah, I've got some of those. I'll try it. So, yeah, I'll try that. Okay, that's about it. Can you believe it? It's been nearly 30 minutes. That's crazy. Robbie likes these to be 25 minutes, so I'm going to go ahead and get ready to close it down. So thank you all for joining in. Thanks for a fun day. And happy Valentine's Day for those who care.
Yeah, and for those who doesn't have a Valentine, as was a sign that I posted on Discord, a few Discord servers, it's a road sign somewhere in one of the highways in the U.S., a road sign which said, no Valentine's, the seatbelt will hold you.
The what will hold you? The seatbelt?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, that was on Facebook.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Okay. Thanks again. Enjoyed it. Doug, Sobu, Peter, thanks very much. Enjoyed it, man. Have a good evening, afternoon, whatever it is in your place. And I will see you later. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.